राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी, जय यशोद नंदन व्रज जान रंजन, यशोद नंदन व्रज जान रंजन, यशोद नंदन व्रज जान रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivraja Gajayastu Udrasada Sri Sri Madhavai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Thank you, what a nice surprise. Thank you for your moral support. I was hoping to sneak in and sneak out. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we will be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 19, Text 26. Yai Shraddhaya Varhishi Bhaga Sohavir Yai Shraddhaya Varhishi Bhaga Sohavir Niruptamishtam Vidhi Mantra Vastuta Niruptamishtam vidhi mantra vastuta Eka pritham namabhir ahuto muda Eka pritham namabhir ahuto muda The mirror. Grinati purna swayamasisam prabhu Yai shraddhaya varhishi bhaga sohavi Niruptamishtam vidhi mantra vastuta Eka prithanna mabhirabhuto muda Grinati purna swayamashisha prabhu Anyone would like to? Yai Shraddhaya Varhishi Bhaga Sohavir Niruptamishtam Vidhi Mantra Vastutaha Ekam Pritham Nama Virahuto Muda गृह्णाति पूर्णा स्वयमाशिषं प्रभो यै श्रद्धया वर्हिषि भागसौहवीर् निरुक्तमिष्टं विधिमन्त्रवस्तुता एका पृथन्ना विराहुतो मुदा गृह्णाति पूर्णं स्वयमाशिषं प्रभु यै श्रद्धया वर्हिषि भागवशो हवीर् ृतो मुदाति पुरुषा प्रभु
Anyone else would like to take a shot? Ladies.
यै श्रद्धया वर्हिषि भागसौहवीर् निरुक्तमिष्टं विधिमन्त्रवस्तुता एका पृथन्नामभिराहुतो मुदा गृह्णाति पूर्णा स्वयमाशिषं प्रभु यै श्रद्धया वर्हिषि भागसौहवीर् एकं पृथन्नामभिराहुतो मुदा गृह्णाति पूर्णा स्वयमाशिषं प्रभु
थैंक यू वर्ड फॉर वर्ड
यही
बाय हुम द इनहैबिटेंट्स ऑफ भारतवर्ष श्रद्धया Faith and confidence. Barhishi, in the performance of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices.
Bhagasaha,
by division.
Havi, oblations.
Niruptam, offered.
Ishtam,
to the desired deity.
Vidhi,
by the proper method.
Mantra,
by reciting mantras.
Vastuta,
with the proper ingredients.
Ekaha,
that one supreme personality of Godhead.
Prithak,
separate.
Namabhi,
by name.
Ahuta,
called.
Muda,
with great happiness.
Grinati,
he accepts.
Purnaha,
the Supreme Lord,
who is full in himself.
Swayam, personally,
Ashisham,
of all benedictions.
Prabhu,
the bestower. Translation. In India, Bharatavarsha, There are many worshippers of the demigods. The various officials appointed by the Supreme Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, and Surya, all of whom are worshipped differently. The worshippers offer the demigods their oblations, considering the demigods part and parcel of the whole, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts these offerings and gradually raises the worshippers to the real standard of devotional service by fulfilling their desires and aspirations. Because the Lord is complete, He offers the worshippers the benedictions they desire, even if they worship only part of His transcendental body. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita 9.13, the Lord says, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritimashritaha bhajantyananamanaso gyatva bhuta dimavyayam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Mahatmas, advanced devotees, worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others, however, who are also sometimes called Mahatmas, worship the Lord as ekatvena prithaktvena. In other words, they accept the demigods as different parts of Krishna and they worship them for various benedictions. Although the devotees of the demigods thus achieve the desired results offered by Krishna, they have been described in Bhagavad Gita as hrita jnana, not very intelligent. Krishna does not desire to be worshipped indirectly through the different parts of His body. Krishna wants direct devotional worship. Therefore, a devotee who directly worships Lord Krishna through staunch devotional service, as recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, Divrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushamparam, is quickly elevated to the transcendental position. Nevertheless, devotees who worship the demigods, the different parts of the Lord, receive the benedictions they desire because the Lord is the original master of all benedictions. If anyone wants a particular benediction for the Lord to award, it is not at all difficult. Umagyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha ajanulam vitabhujo kanakavadato sankirtanaika pitaro kamalayataksho vishwambharo dvijavaro yugadharma palo vande jagat priyakaro karunavataro Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you all for joining us today for this discussion on the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm very humbled and grateful to the devotees here in Govardhanika village, and I feel extremely honored and privileged to be in their company, and particularly grateful to Gauranga Prabhu. I don't know what I have done, but He has been very kind and loving and affectionate towards me. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami, who's set a very high standard of spiritual practice in this Govardhanika village. So, with your blessings, I would just add a few thoughts on Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the island of Jambudvipa is the name of this chapter. There is a description by the demigods of Bharatavarsha, of India. And when I was told that this morning, last night I was told that this morning I'll be, I was told to speak on this verse. I didn't know what to speak, because I normally do not speak in front of devotees. It's not something I do very often. So it's, I had to pray really hard. So I have a mentor, His Holiness Ritadvaja Maharaj. So I said, Maharaj, I've been asked to speak. What do you think I should talk about? And so we read the verse together and we had a discussion. So I just want to share some of my discussions with you, discussions that I had with him. So, two important points that I will extract from this verse. One is this, Yai Shraddhaya, by whom faith and confidence, and this important principle of faith, it hits me really hard to understand the importance and the value that is given to this principle of Shraddha. And this faith is, as we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is an inherent nature that all living entities are endowed with. We are, no matter who we are, no matter where we are born, we are bound to have this quality of faith, Shraddha. There's different degrees of faith that we study in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So this faith has different psychological states. And the psychological states, every action has a certain emotion that follows that action. And so, for example, to have desires, that we have unlimited numbers of them, that we have accumulated for millions of lifetimes, that we are working through them to see how many we can accomplish. And then we have our belief systems that we have acquired, some that have been placed upon us through our society and family, our different levels of trust that we have. These are all psychological states of being that are a product of our Shraddha. And this trust that we have are also implicit and explicit, and it has different levels of it as well, depending on experiences, on our, particularly in our subconscious mind. And I often think about how in this world most of our actions are not conscious. And that is why Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic in saying Krishna conscious, because it is very clear that our actions are not conscious. It is a product of our subconscious mind. And so he makes it very clear that it has to be a conscious action. Our movement, ISKCON movement, is a conscious movement. It is not something that is done unconsciously. So then we have hope. Many of us, we always have hope for something.
And when we lose hope, then we cease to exist one way or another. We figure out different ways to drown ourselves in ways that we become hopeless. And eventually, you know, we end up non-existent, physically non-existent. So this principle of faith is a very big part of devotional service. I know for myself, someone had asked me, when did you become a devotee? It is a very common question that people ask. And when someone asked me that question, when did you become a devotee, I didn't have a personal, authentic answer. I had a very generic answer. Oh, 1983. And when I really thought about it, I did not actually have implicit faith. And I did not become a devotee in 1983. It is the year that I joined ISKCON, but it is not the year that I actually became a devotee. And that decision that I took was at the age of 17, when I was questioning all the Vedic scriptures, our lineage, and every aspect of our practice is something that I have questioned in my life. And then I had to make an active choice using my knowledge acquiring faculties and the reservoir of information that was given to me throughout my life and my indoctrination, my programming. And I resorted to that information to actually make an active choice in deciding that this is the practice for me. So at the age of 17, I chose that this is my path, that Krishna consciousness, bhakti is my path. So, this faith that I had developed from the age of 5, it was just faith in different things, this acquisition of knowledge and information, just continuous consumption of spiritual data that had zero application. The application was there, but the realization wasn't there. It was theoretical knowledge and some half-hearted applied knowledge and very little realized knowledge. And finally, when I took my plunge into really making a decision and a choice for myself, then I realized that this practice of bhakti is really very deep, and it is something that I'm ready to commit to for the rest of my life, regardless what obstacles may come my way. So this is why this word faith is very, very critical to me. It's very personal to me. For some of you, you're born with this deep faith. Unfortunately for me, I had to really, really struggle. And spending the last few days with Gauranga Prabhu, I realized his deep, implicit faith. And seeing his faith in his spiritual master, and then his spiritual master's faith in Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada's faith in his spiritual master, it gives me faith that I need to put my faith into something even more deeper. And whenever I see the manifestations in this world, and I see it as a manifestation of faith, as not someone's mere ability or karma or whatever people want to call it. It is that deep implicit faith they had in the process, in that particular product, in that particular school, that educational process, in that particular teacher. And that deep implicit faith, of course, I'm sure that everyone has done their deep investigative research before they put their faith into something. Knowing Gauranga Prabhu's deep ability to research and you know, I realized that he really, the inception of, for example, Govardhan Eco Village. I'm a big lover of history, and so just hearing how this was a vision that Maharaj had decades ago, and how this vision, this concept was germinating in his heart, and how when he verbalized this vision of Govardhan Eco Village, and so much of the devotee's faith was tested when this project came about, and how there were a core group of devotees who had this deep, implicit faith. And this place is the creation of deep faith that devotees had in their spiritual master's vision. And so, for me, my meditation for the last 2 days has been, how can I develop a deeper faith in my own spiritual practices and in the teachings that Srila Prabhupada has left behind for us. And even while I was meditating on this verse this morning, I was just thinking how Srila Prabhupada, this old man, he took such a long time. From the moment his spiritual master had given him the instruction to him actually making that his life and soul. And then the execution process. And it was a long gap between the execution and him really, really germinating on this idea of taking this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to the Western world. And that deep faith and conviction is what propelled him to withstand physical challenges and emotional challenges and circumstantial and environmental and financial. You could imagine every possible obstacle there was to face, Srila Prabhupada faced. But there was one thing that kept him strong inside, and that was the faith in the instructions of his spiritual master. So that's why this verse that hit me really hard, that we must put deep faith in the instructions of our spiritual masters. And those, if we don't have faith in our spiritual masters, then at least to put faith in those that have faith in our spiritual masters. And then, through this deep faith, what is that beautiful verse? Shraddha vallabhate jnanam. When we have faith, then Krishna provides us the knowledge. And, you know, I grew up in Mayapur. You know, Mayapur is a very complex place and very diverse psychologically, intellectually, geographically, socially, and there's so many facets to it. And this Govardhan Eco Village is very diverse in every possible way, various complexities. So whenever I see this place and I'm thinking, you know, how is this place moving? How is everything running so smooth? How is it that everyone that you meet here has this incredible attitude of service? And my meditation has been continuously as I walk around the property, you know, non-stop, just walking and watching and observing every single detail. And meeting and just greeting people just to say Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. The mood that they have, I could tell. You know, I am not a psychologist by profession, but you know, I pick on vibes. And so I could tell that there was someone who was cultivating this mood of Vrindavan for decades and decades, and instilling that mood in his disciples and followers. And that mood being cultivated by Srila Prabhupada, who transplanted in the hearts of his disciples, and his disciples then cultivating that mood, transplanting it in the hearts of their disciples. And so this Govardhan Eco Village, the mood that I have experienced so far, I feel is a transplant of that mood of Vrindavan, that mood of service. And I'm just going to go off script, because I just want to speak what's in my heart, right? Yeah, free flow. My understanding of the mood of Vrindavan in comparison to the moods of the other places is very personal to me. There was a lot of emphasis put on selfless service in my life, and I loved that word, selfless service. And I dwelled on that word for a long time. And I realized that when I engage in service, I maintain my identity as Vedasara Das when I engage in service. And I have also noticed that, you know, you look at people like Mother Teresa, she has an identity. Her identity is she is a nun. She is a Christian nun. And she engages in selfless service. So there is an identity that is connected to the service. And what I have noticed that in Vrindavan, the mood of the Vrajavasis, they don't engage in selfless service. They actually engage in self-forgetful service. When they engage in service, they actually forget their identities. And this is something that I have been meditating on for a while. And here in Govardhan Eco Village, I feel a resemblance of that mood. That when I'm interacting with devotees, there is that mood of Vrindavan where they just engage in service. And so this is why I feel that to create a community, there is someone who has been cultivating this Vrindavan mood for so many years. And therefore, Govardhan Eco Village has that Vrindavan vibe. So thank you, Prabhus, for creating this. And in helping me to develop my faith, that if I continue in this path of bhakti, that there's a great probability that I may be able to have access to those who have a glimpse of this mood of Vrindavan, self-forgetful service. So that was my first hit home from this verse, this faith, and how integral part it is of existence, that without it we will cease to exist. And with it, we can catapult ourselves to the highest platform of the pinnacle of spiritual realization. And then the second point I was contemplating and meditating on was how Krishna's creation is so complete. All his demigods are there to provide every possible need, every instant gratification that we need, some quick fix. It's like the allopathic medicine, you know. I was just in Bhaktivedanta Hospital for 10 days and I was doing some checkups, and there is this devotee named Dwarka Desh Prabhu. Very sweet Vaishnava. And we were discussing, and I said, "What's your diagnosis of my health situation? What is going on?" He said, "I have figured out what is going on and I have given you medications for that. But more than what is going on, I am studying why it is going on. And that is why I have put you through all these tests to find out why it is going on. And after I find out why it is going on, after I do the quick fix," he gave me some allopathic medicines, "then we're going to do the long fix.
try and address the core of the issue. So when I was reading this verse, I was thinking how the demigods are providing quick fixes to all our material problems. And it's beautiful. It's needed. But those who are looking for a permanent fix, you see, Yadubar Prabhu here taking Ayurvedic treatment for a permanent fix. He's very patient. He doesn't see the results. I spoke to him yesterday. He doesn't see any changes. He's just doing what he's being told to do. He has faith in the practice and his doctors. And as a result of that, there will be a permanent fix. So Krishna is the permanent fix. And I feel that, I don't feel, Prabhupada explains in this verse, that for all these temporary fixes in the world, there is a very particular ritual that is prescribed. You can't just want something and get it. You still have to jump through a few hoops. And that is just part of the process. That if you want to achieve anything in this world, that nothing is just going to be handed down to you. That in life we think, why can't Krishna make this easier for me? I used to always pray, Krishna, if you just let me know what I have gone through, how many lifetimes I have gone through in my previous lives, I promise I'll just surrender to you. And I really used to pray for this. Just give me a little glimpse of where I have been so I won't screw up anymore, so I can end this to be my last life. But it doesn't work like that. Krishna is God that provides extreme free will. And that's what I really love about Krishna. He gives you all the options. You take your pick. And that is why I love Krishna. As a kid, when I was 17, I was having my crisis, faith crisis. It was this quality of Krishna that he was so complete. And he gave everyone the free will to choose. You take your pick. Take your pick. See what you want. If you want something, a quick fix, there are options out there. But if you want a permanent fix, I'm here. And this is why I feel that in the practice of bhakti, that we have this incredible opportunity. That we don't really have to think very hard. We don't have to go through the process of studying all the Vedas and trying to figure out what is the essence. That it has been, the work has been done. The research papers have been submitted. And conclusive research. All the sages have done the work. Vyasadeva, he did his first thesis and his teacher said, you know, I love your thesis, you've done a great job. But, you know, not really that great. Something is missing in this thesis. And this is when he writes the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the absolute thesis provided by all the sages, confirmed by all the sages. Then I think we are in good hands. We don't have to break our heads to try and study everything. We have to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's the free will that we have to take advantage of. All the resources are there for us and we just have to study it. And once we actually apply our free will to a proper use, because, you know, we could misuse it. You know, when our tires get punctured, we have a spare. In India also we have a spare, right? In America they have something very small. It's called a donut. It's a small tire. It's not a regular tire. It's a small tire that only will get you for maybe another 100 miles. And after that it'll pop. So we need a permanent fix. And that is this process of bhakti. And Krishna is the permanent fix. And this is confirmed by all the sages. And sometimes I used to, as a kid, I'm just sharing my heart with all of you, because this is what Rupa Goswami recommended, Guhyam Akhyate Prichyati. You know, I used to always think I'm going to do something very big in life. Always had big dreams. Like, you know, I'm from a little village. I had never seen a bicycle. They don't even have electricity to this day. But even as a kid, I used to have this dream so big. And just keep dreaming. And I think I would do big service. And whenever little services were given to me, when I got into management, I didn't want it. I wanted something big. Why don't you give me a nation, give me a country or something, you know? Don't give me a little temple. So I used to think like this. But then over the years, I have realized this very important thing for me personally, is that every service that we do is the biggest service. Every service is the biggest service. It is not the magnitude of the service, it is the attitude of the service. And this was something I realized. So then, whenever I was asked to do something menial, I actually paid attention to it. I wanted to be present with the service that I was doing. So, this is just me sharing, not telling you what to do. That it is so important to cultivate this mood of tremendous humility. And when we have this attitude of service, which is humility, and I realized that this quality is the only quality that we have the power to do, to change. There's nothing in this world that we can do. Because everything you do is already being done. There's so many contributing factors. But there's one quality that you have the power, that I have the power, that we have the power, is to cultivate this practice of humility. And I feel it is that spiritual emotion of humility that opens up that little door to the spiritual world. And unless and until we have that perfect, ideal, the most absolute expression of humility, we will not fit through that door into the spiritual world. Even your selfless service, you'll be stuck here doing selfless service. So that is something that I've been meditating on, and my realization that I really need to focus on my attitude of service, and that even the most insignificant service that I'm asked to do, it is the most grand, the most the biggest service, because Krishna will not see how many temples you have built, how many devotees you have made. He will just see the real essence, what was your attitude of service. And if we have that attitude of humility, then we have an opportunity to be in a better place. So with that, thank you for tolerating me. I just wanted to share my heart with all of you. And my appreciation for all of you here in Govardhanika village that helped me to go deeper into my own spiritual practice and deepen my faith in the practice of bhakti. So thank you so much. Gauranga Prabhu, please help me out here, bail me out, shed some. Anything? Any comments or questions? Yes, Janava Sundari. For those of you who do not know, she's doing incredible preaching.
She likes to call it preaching, that's why I'm calling using the term preaching. Because, you know, Janava is a firehouse. She does a lot of preaching in Italy, and she's also really absorbing the mood of Govardhanika village here. So please.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for the wonderful class. Regarding demigods, you know, even in the rules of chanting the holy name, we say that, you know, we shouldn't put Lord Shiva or Brahma, the demigods, on the same level of Lord Vishnu. But also in the Bhagavatam, we hear that Shiva, Lord Shiva is Mahadev, it's not just a demigod. And there are ways that it's described that, you know, there is the tattva that is actually beyond that. So how do we understand that point where, you know, we can actually refer to Lord Shiva not just like a demigod, but also something more?
Beautiful question. Thank you. Shiva tattva is very complex. And I remember I attended this seminar Ramapada Maharaj gave, that he researched, I think, for about 6 months on Lord Shiva. And he came to Atlanta and he gave this Shiva Tattva class for, I think, about 5 days to the students there. And I was like, wow. It's a fascinating personality. And that's all I can say. But in terms of, I mean, there's a lot to say about him. But in terms of our relationship with the demigods and Lord Shiva in particular, you know, I see that the residents of Vrindavan, the Vrajvasis, they're worshipping, the gopis are worshipping Katyayani Devi. So sometimes it can be perceived that's what we should be doing. But what's missing in that observation is the intent of the gopis. It's very important, whatever action between the intent and the content and the execution, there is a lot of nuances, and there's a lot of disparities. So when I read the Bhagavatam, I see that the gopis are worshipping Katyayani Devi for what? Why are they worshipping this Katyayani Devi? Because they want Krishna. And guess what? She gives them Krishna. All these demigods or devotees are representatives of Krishna. So even if we worship a demigod, but our intention is very clear and it's pure, then those demigods, whoever they may be, there's millions of them, they will guide you to Krishna. So Lord Shiva, you know, you go to Vrindavan, everybody worships Gopeshwar Shiva, Gopeshwar Mahadev. I was just there with 50 students. We're doing a yatra. And after we finished Rishikesh, we went to Vrindavan. And they said, Veda, you said Vrindavan was for Krishna, but there is Shiva here too. I said, Shiva is everywhere. Where is a place there is no Shiva? He's everywhere. And so we had to get into a whole Shiva Tattva discussion to understand how all these demigods, they have a unique role to bring the conditioned souls to the lotus feet of Krishna. It's something that Mahaprabhu taught by himself. I know that in Mayapur, in Yogapit, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur, he installed a beautiful Gopeshwar, Dhameshwar Shiva. So yes, we must have a deep relationship with all these demigods, but be very clear in what is our intent of that relationship. If the intent of that relationship is a temporary fix, sure, you'll get that too. You'll get a temporary fix. But our goal is to get a permanent fix, and that is to be drowning in this transcendental loving mellows that are experienced in the spiritual realm. So, I don't know, Gauranga Prabhu, would you mind to take a shot at that? I don't know if I did any justice to it. Was I able to shed any light on it? Anybody would like to add anything to that? Okay. Anything else? Anyone else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Jai Hare Krishna. So thank you very much Vedasar Prabhu for visiting Govardhan Eco Village. I still feel you're 10 years late. He's one of the very prominent outreach preachers in the Western outreach space, and temple president of ISKCON in Atlanta. Many of us go to Mayapur regularly and see the beautiful TOVP coming up and the projects there. And the Honorable Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee helped consolidate almost 700 acres of land a few years ago. So our Vedasar Prabhu was very much part of that team, assisting Dayaram Prabhu in all of that land acquisition during those days in the 90s, and has seen a lot of on-ground action in rural India, the way it happened. So he could relate to many of the things here at Govardhan Eco Village. And, you know, many of the outreach programs which he does has been really, really inspiring for Western people to connect to Krishna consciousness. And I think we need, in today's ISKCON scenario, more of such people who are inspired to do this kind of outreach, as we are moving into our, you know, sixth decade in ISKCON, and the number of Western people taking to Krishna consciousness is dwindling very rapidly. So he also appreciated the thought which has gone behind the Govardhan Eco Village, which is to enable and inspire seekers from across the world who come to India searching for God, the way Radhanath Swami, Jananivas Prabhu and others came to India. And Srila Prabhupada, in his quotations for the Mayapur guest house, Vrindavan guest house and Juhu guest house, has underlined this principle that I am making this guest house specifically also to support the spiritual inclinations and hankerings of travelers who come from across the world searching for the spiritual India, so that they have a place where they can stay and also explore Eastern spirituality. So that is a mandate which His Holiness Radhanath Swami felt can be, you know, accomplished more than what it has been accomplished so far. And that was one of the thoughts behind this Govardhan Eco Village project. And I'm glad that you're here. And next year, hopefully, Vedasar Prabhu will be coming with a group of, you know, Western students. Not hopefully, he's saying it is definitely. So we hope to connect more with you and hear from you more often. So let us express our heartfelt gratitude and welcome to His Grace Vedasar Prabhu by loudly chanting Haribol. Haribol, Haribol. Thank you very much.